I went through various notices this morning. The one that I would bring fresh, you might say, this evening is those of you who are here, those whom you represent, would it be possible to take a few minutes after the service just to sit together regarding the Heritage Day? There are maybe a couple of ideas, but looking for commitment, for one thing, and also just a few reflections as to what might be appropriate, useful to have the ideas of others. So if at all possible, when we finish the service, if we could just take a few minutes more or less straight away, and the young folk, it'd be useful to get your input as well, if you wouldn't mind, for a few minutes. So just that to begin with. Beginning this evening, reading the words of Psalm 103, the page reference is given if you wish to follow. Psalm 103 from verse 8. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. So far God's word. We turn to our opening praise now, a psalm that is a psalm of praise to God, Psalm 111, praising him for his works, for his grace, and especially we receive his covenant of redemption. Psalm 111, page 150, and we will sing the whole psalm. Praise to the Lord. I will extol him while gathering with the upright. Great are the works of God, and pondered by all who in them take delight. Let us sing to his praise. Psalm 111, the whole psalm, will stand to sing together.
Thank you.
together. Almighty and merciful Father, the one who is worthy of all praise, we have sinned and we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed the inclinations and desires of our own hearts too often and offended against your holy laws. We have left not done those things we ought to have done, and done what we ought not to have done. There is no wholeness in us. But you, O Lord, will you have mercy on us, according to your covenant promises, in the state that we are in, a state of misery, brought on us by our own sin. Grant, O Lord, that you would spare those who confess their faults. Restore those who are penitent, according to your own promises declared to men in Christ Jesus our Lord. And, most merciful Father, for his sake grant that we may go on living a godly, righteous, and sober life, and that this will be to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Would you turn with me now to read in Psalm 141? We have done this on a few occasions in the past, that we might make this a shared reading, and that we might do it, I will read the first verse, and then I would ask that together we will read each second verse, the even-numbered verses together. Let us respond in this way. So I will begin, and every second verse that we read together. Psalm 141, a psalm of David. Lord, I cry out to you, make haste to me. Give ear to my voice when I cry out to you. Let my prayer be set before you as incense, the lifting up of my hands as the evening sacrifice. Set a guard, O Lord, over my mouth. Keep watch over the door of my lips. Do not incline my heart to any evil thing, to practice wicked works with men who work iniquity, and do not let me eat of their delicacies. Let the righteous strike me, it shall be a kindness. And let him rebuke me, it shall be as excellent oil. Let my head not refuse it. But still my prayer is against the deeds of the wicked. Their judges are overthrown by the sides of the cliff, and they hear my words, for they are sweet. Our bones are scattered at the mouth of the grave, as when one ploughs and breaks up the earth. But my eyes are upon you, O God the Lord. In you I take refuge. Do not leave my soul destitute. Keep me from the snares they have laid for me, and from the traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, while I escape safely. May God bless our reading of his word. And we will take a further psalm in response to this. This is the Lord answers such prayers as we have offered in Psalm 141. But then when the Lord does answer, we might make our response further in the words of Psalm 101 and page 132. And the psalmist writes, and that we might do so ourselves, setting ourselves to hate what is wrong and evil, for the sake of our Lord and Saviour. Psalm 101 then, and we'll sing the first five stanzas, verses marked 1 to 6. I'll praise your love and justice, Lord. I'll praise you cheerfully. The psalm does go on to speak of personal life, but it is founded upon this love and justice that the Lord administers to those who call upon him. Let us sing then Psalm 101, verses 1 to 6. Again, standing to sing.
How great your love and justice, Lord, how great you
turn to a short meditation in God's Word, but let us first pray together. As we sing such words, O Lord, Lord God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the one who does not desire the death of a sinner, but that he may turn from his wickedness and live. We thank you for your word's declaration of the remission and forgiveness of sins. Do grant pardon to all who truly repent and believe the Holy Gospel. We therefore seek blessing ourselves on your word to our hearts and to the hearts of many today. We pray that you will grant us that true repentance in answer to your word. And grant us your Holy Spirit, that our lives now will please you, that the rest of our lives will be pure and holy, even as you are holy, and so that at last we may enter your eternal joy. We pray through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Would you turn with me to another passage in God's Word, and it is in the letter to the Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12. And especially in verse 1. I will read from the beginning, and then the particular words that I would emphasize this evening. Hebrews chapter 12, at verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. And especially these words, let us lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us. What is the writer speaking about here? Maybe take, first of all, a picture of spring cleaning or the summer holiday clear out, getting ready for new ventures. Maybe the time, when you come to the dusting, maybe once a week or however often you might do it, or how infrequently you might do it. You go dusting the house, not because you have at some point been out to the builder's merchants and gained a truckload of sand and you have dumped it in your sitting room. That's something positive, it's something that seems quite contrary to expectation. It's not that kind of dirt that you're getting rid of, it's the slow, steady, invisible accumulation of the tiniest flecks of something that is dirt. You don't have to make any effort to accumulate dust in the house. Each grain is so small in itself, it would seem unimportant. But there are so many of them, and the place becomes dirty. That's how it is with so many of the sins in our lives. The call here is to take stock and to deal with them, especially with a view to what lies ahead. What has been, where such sin is present, it has its effects, where it lingers and has not been dealt with in your life, that seek forgiveness. And there is a promise of that forgiveness. But seek as well to prevent any further incursions. That's what Hebrews 12, verse 1 is saying. Lay these things aside. They will keep coming. Lay it aside. It so easily ensnares. Doesn't take any effort. Lay them aside. They ensnare, they entrap, they entangle. The picture is often used of, as the last part of that verse talks about, running with endurance, the race set before us. If you were to take Mo Farah and you were to laden him down with my weight or somebody else's weight, he would not have done what he did in this past week or last year. But it's not only weight, it's also the things that entangle. If his shoelaces had come undone, he would have tripped. He would have been entangled very easily, would have taken nothing at all. But he would have to learn to recognize the signs. If his running spikes were loosening, he would know that the lace was coming loose. We need to learn to recognize these sins that do so easily ensnare us. Or we need to recognize the things that lead to those sins that easily ensnare us. It's not always easy. That's why this word is here. Or we would have done it. It's even less easy when it's not a habit of thought. We need to remember such a call as this. But just because they are tiny little things, perhaps, or those things that are just come on us so easily, they are as significant, perhaps even more significant, more damaging than the big, the noticeable things. Those sins that people say, I've never done that, because you take precautions against them. These are the ones that do penetrate. They're insidious. They enter, and they are equally damaging. We had the privilege of a few days not far from the Kulin Hills in Skye a few weeks ago. And on an open hillside at the foot, and a long way from the mountains themselves, you see great boulders lying scattered all over the place. And you think, how did they get there? But then you see the cracks and the fissures in the wall, in the rock face. And you know that that's a cold place. If you have, you've found a lovely rock and you want it as a centerpiece in your garden, and you see somebody coming along with a massive sledgehammer, you're going to stand in front of that rock and you're going to say, so far and no further, don't you touch that. And you can keep him away, this great hammer that's going to break it in pieces. But perhaps there's a little crack, a fault in it. And the rain comes and it drips and the water sets in there. And then the winter comes and it forms into ice and ice expands. That's how rocks break apart. Bit by bit, little bit by little bit, that drip penetrates and the rock one day is broken in pieces. They are the very things that damage our lives with great danger because we don't recognize them for what they are. But they are sins. Not things that God teaches. Not things that God desires for you. That briefly is what we're talking about. It is sin. But there are sins of a certain character that can have a massive impact upon our lives and the lives of others because we have not recognized them for what they are. They take a hold of us all too easily. Why, then? That's the what. What about why, this call? This call because they ensnare us. That's what they're doing. And ensnare is very definitely a negative connotation. I think whatever a trap is, the person who suffers from that trap, it's negative, isn't it? The ease with which we do get trapped, snared. I might have told this story before, but there was a day when I went with a friend to his father's small holding, and they were troubled by vermin. And so around the wire fencing, we would go out in the evening and we would set snares. You're allowed to do it in those days. And there were holes under the fence that had been worn by the animals. There was something on the other side of the fence, our side of the fence, that was attractive to them. And they would go after it and get themselves caught. These trap us because they usually do look attractive. But when we give them serious thought, if that animal was awake to the signals and stopped and thought, it may well have formed another passage through. What about us? When we give serious thought to the way that we are pursuing our lives, do we recognize that these things are not really so attractive at all? They're not worthwhile. I think that's what the Psalms that we've been using have been talking about. The Psalms are saying those ways are not truly attractive. Another one that we are coming to, Psalm 73. After a long course and a wrestling and a very difficult passage in spiritual experience, he comes to the place to say, but no, it's not really so good after all, that way of wickedness and the way that looks attractive at first glance. In the context, this comes as the first word of chapter 12, verse 1, tells us, therefore, it's because of what he's been telling, the examples he's been gathering together in chapter 11, that great chapter of faith. These are sins that are against faith. It tells us, for example, in chapter 11, verse 15, of Abraham and those of his family, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out, they would have had opportunity to return. There was nothing stopping them turning around and going back to the place where they were. It would have been quite easy. Moses, in verses 24 through 26 and following, tells us of the choices he could have made. He would have had a magnificent, a trouble-free life. Everybody would have been attending to his smallest wish and whim in the palaces of Egypt. Perhaps it's a reminder that, and as you go on, and then the chapter comes to the place, verse 32, what more shall I say? The time would fail me to tell of these different people and many others who are not named there, and look at the things that they went through. They are not an easy passage in life. And perhaps it's those things, it's those sins which so easily ensnare us. If there is an easy way in front of you, those of you who have been at the Bible study on Pilgrim's Progress might remember the number of times Christian met with somebody who said, oh, this way is easier. And he said, but it's not the way I've been given on the way to the celestial city. Jesus said, the way is broad, the way is easy, that leads to destruction. If there is a way that's easier, at least take that bit longer to think it through. If there's a way that makes it easy for you in the society in which we live, take that bit longer to think it through and ask yourself, is this the way the Lord sets before me? Make doubly sure that it is not the way that is against him, or you are being ensnared. Take that easy road. Ask the Lord for his leading. It doesn't take that great effort to go and order a truckload of builder's sand to make your house dirty, but it does take effort, doesn't it, to clean it and to keep it clean. Don't just go down the easy road, or you may well be ensnared. The witness of these many in Hebrews chapter 11 is that the easy things are too often riddled with sinfulness and a worldly spirit. And Jesus, most definitely, that's why he includes Jesus, the supreme example. He tells us he endured the cross. And endurance, taking up your cross daily and following him, will not be an easy way. Why do we hear this? It's because we will otherwise be ensnared, we'll be trapped. It's a way of death and destruction. It's an easy way, though. Just taking a few moments this evening to look at these words. The last thing I would want to speak about is how do we deal with this? Lay aside the sin which so easily ensnares us, as well as the weight, but it's this easily ensnaring sin that I'm especially interested in this evening. Lay it aside. How? Well, first, we need to recognize them for what they are. You can't get rid of dirt if you don't recognize that it is dirt. The youngsters would come in, and we all did it when we were young. We came in after a day playing and thoroughly enjoying ourselves, covered with dirt, and we don't see what the problem is. Tramping through the house and leaving dirty footmarks. What's the problem? Learn to recognize the sin and the dirt for what it is. To avoid these things, it does perhaps involve looking back on where we've come and the things that we've dragged with us. But this is to avoid the same things in the future. Recognize them for what they are. Confess them for what they are. Everyone's, and I think without exception, everyone's first inclination is to excuse themselves. And to excuse this thing. Oh no, it's not so bad after all. And then what happens is that you feel the only way to go is to carry on that way, to go on excusing. It hurts our pride to do otherwise. But a confession is so important for those things where we have been ensnared. Acknowledging that God's judgment on the matter is true. And then they will need significant steps to avoid them. If you want a dust-free environment, you're really going to have to pay big money, aren't you? If you want to avoid these most easily ensnaring sins, there may be those things, and maybe it is figurative language, where Jesus said, if it's your hand that offends you, causes you to sin, cut it off. There's something bigger and better without it. If it's your eye, take it out. Mark chapter 9, amongst others. Then we need to get it clear. Establish it in your mind and your heart. Make this the habit of thought, the framework of all your thinking. Does it fit in here? to say, I will not tolerate this anymore in my life. That's what Psalm 101 was talking about. I suppose in a way, that's in different ways, that's what some of the other passages we've been reading have been talking about as well. This isn't acceptable to God. If I want the blessings that come with a relationship with God, I cannot tolerate it either. Which side do you stand on? Because there are sides in this question. Get it clear and establish it. Make it established, make it firmly set, or anything can shake you. You will easily be ensnared otherwise. And they may be specific things, acts, things that are you might have done that you can easily recognize as such. It may be as much an attitude. And attitude can be very sinful and very ensnaring. And will lead then to inappropriate action. How else may we avoid that, the sin that so easily ensnares us? The other point that we have here, as well as that running with endurance, I don't have time to go into that this evening, but especially looking to Jesus. Look at what he's done so that we may have the hope that we might testify. Look to him because he is there at the right hand of the throne of God, waiting for his people to come to him. See him, be encouraged by that sight. Find strength in both the sight of him and in reflecting on what he's done. See him and see what pleases him. As you step out in the walk of your life, what is it that brings a smile to his face, you might say? And let that be what pleases you. A preventative to being ensnared by sin. And when you look at him, you can't help but see what it cost him. That you can have a hope that you would not have otherwise. How can we take these sins so lightly? How can we allow them to ensnare us so easily? When he has done what he's done, when he's taken sin upon him, upon the cross. Let's look to him as the great enabling for setting aside the weights, the sin that so easily ensnares us, and to enable us to persevere. It is an endurance race. I've always found them the hardest. Most painful. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. If you've come to the place of looking for new ventures after the summer, maybe just marginally different, maybe in a larger way. Maybe it's a time when you've been able to catch up with stuff. Maybe a time when you've been able to even catch up with some reflection on what's ahead in life. Make this part of it to ensure that what goes on ahead of you, of where you are going in the days ahead, that these things will not ensnare you. Pray that they will not ensnare me as easily as they have done. May God bless his word among us together this evening. Let us make our prayer in singing together in Psalm 143. Page 187. And we'll sing the verses on this page, four stanzas, verses marked 1 through to 8. Prayer for the Lord's mercy, because we do sin so easily. A recognition of the strength of his works and a renewing of vows to put trust in him. Psalm 143, O hear my prayer, Lord, my cry for mercy heed. In truth and righteousness draw near to meet my need. And do not judge me in your sight, for in your presence none is right. Through to verse 8, let morning bring your love anew, for I have put my trust in you. We'll be going on after this to our consecutive reading, but let us now sing Psalm 143. Let's stand to sing.
Oh, hear my prayer.
Been reading in the evenings in the Gospel according to Matthew, and we read again here in chapter 19, continuing where we, at least as best I understand, where we left off last week. Matthew 19 and the first part of the chapter, first half of the chapter. The psalm we just sang was a prayer that the Lord would not hide his face from us or let us slide into the pit. And there's very much the case that the Lord has sent his Son in order to answer that prayer. And we have an example of that, several examples of that in this passage, where Jesus deals with the ideas that man has developed in several matters of life. And he says that is not the way of it at all. How man's ideas take such a strong grip on us, Jesus shows a new and a better way, which is in itself the old and the true way. Let us read then Matthew chapter 19 and verses 1 to 15. Now it came to pass when Jesus had finished these sayings that he departed from Galilee and came to the region of Judea beyond the Jordan. And great multitudes followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees also came to him, testing him and saying to him, Is it lawful for a man to divorce his wife for just any reason? And he answered and said to them, Have you not read that he who made them at the beginning made them male and female, and said, For this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. So then they are no longer two, but one flesh. Therefore, what God has joined together, let not man separate. They said to him, Why then did Moses command to give a certificate of divorce and to put her away? He said to them, Moses, because of the hardness of your hearts, permitted you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning it was not so. And I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery, and whoever marries her who is divorced commits adultery. His disciples said to him, If such is the case of the man with his wife, it is better not to marry. But he said to them, All cannot accept this saying, but only those to whom it has been given. For there are eunuchs who were born thus from their mother's womb, and there are eunuchs who were made eunuchs by men, and there are eunuchs who have made themselves eunuchs for the kingdom of heaven's sake. He who is able to accept it, let him accept it. Then little children were brought to him, that he might put his hands on them and pray. But the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Let the little children come to me, and do not forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid his hands on them, and departed from there. And we read just so far here in God's word. Let us now join together in prayer, prayer of petition and intercession. Let us pray together. Our gracious Heavenly Father, through our Lord Jesus Christ, we would return our thanks to you for your saving work. And that saving work, which includes this instruction, insight and light upon our daily path. We give thanks, O Lord, because you have done a work of redemption that is beyond the thoughts of man. And again we see it, how so often there needed to be that correction, and there still needs that correction in our own lives. Our own thoughts are so far from you. But we thank you that that salvation includes forgiveness and the assurance of forgiveness by the gift that Jesus made of himself in our place. As we return thanks, we thank you for our daily provisions, even as we ask you to graciously continue to give us our daily needs, things that you know that we have need of. Our food, our shelter, our safety, our well-being in body and soul, as you give strength and skills and opportunities. But in all of these, O Lord, keep us in our spirit that we might do all to glorify you with thanksgiving. We pray that you will keep us to attend to those things that are of true value. And as your grace works through us, that we ourselves will be gracious to all. We pray that you will keep us in humility before you, seeing who you are and who we are, that we may indeed receive that grace and help that we have need of each day. But may we also be assured of your presence. This is your word to those who will put their trust in you. May we have that assurance that in the works of our lives we will work as to the Lord Jesus Christ and not just to men. And that this will also be, along with our words, a good testimony to him. And that living hope can only be found in him. We would bring to you, Lord, the needs of many, as we have various needs amongst ourselves, and as we know that our Lord Jesus Christ continues in intercession for us. We pray for others. We pray especially for our wider families and our wider circle. For those with physical needs, we pray that you would uphold them. For those who may be unwell, that they might know a recovery of health and strength, or an endurance, a patience, and a good spirit to endure where that is not possible or according to your will. We pray especially that where there is a provision for that which is physical, that would lead to a spiritual growth, a recognition that all good things come from our Father in heaven. And may all who do receive of your rich grace each day be caused to turn their eyes to you, to consider their ways, that they will receive that greater blessing, not only of the things of this earth, but of the things of eternal life. And in this, then, we do pray especially for your church, that we will have an effective ministry to the many who are still in need around us. We pray for those whose lives are broken in one way or another, and as we've read of divorce, we know that there are many lives and homes that are struggling, where there is difficulty in relationship. We pray, Lord, that we might be those who would minister grace, your grace to them. We pray that, especially where your church prospers, that there will be a humbling of themselves, ourselves, and walking only in thanksgiving to bring the gospel that prospers us, to bring it to the needy world around us. Pray that these things might not be obscured by improper life and structure or organization or activity, but all things to be led by the mercies of Christ. And so too for the parts of your church where there is suffering and discouragement, we pray that you would hold up those weary hands and weary heads and weary hearts. Where there is pain, that you would grant a spiritual relief where it might not be possible to escape otherwise. Pray that you would grant a sight of yourself, that this would ease the path and renew a knowledge of your victory over the wickedness of men. We again pray for our country. We ask, Lord, that there will be a growing spirit where men will look for all the things that are noble and just, that it will not only be those in your church who look and meditate on these things that are pure and lovely, of good report and virtue and praiseworthy, and that it will not be a resort to sensationalism or criticism and the harming of others. And we pray that in all of these things, that we might continue prayerful, that your people more and more will be praying people, and out of it all, that your own honour would be restored and prosper amongst men. And so, O God of hope and mercy and peace and comfort, do draw near, we pray, hold us near and true to you. Work your honour and praise in and through us. And we ask all this for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ, and asking only in his name with the pardon of sin. Amen. Let us join together to sing once more. Psalm 73, the traditional version, on page 316, and we start at verse 23 and sing through to the end of the psalm. The psalm is that psalm I referred to earlier, and you might put it this way, that it reflects how mesmerizing the way of the world is to all of us, how it draws us in so easily, how resentment rises all too easily over God's call on our lives. As in verse 22, for example, I was right through to verse 22 rather. I was rude and ignorant, just grieved in my heart. But nevertheless, however, and these last words bear witness and testify that only God is true. And so it's these words that we will sing together, and that we might take them to establish us in that knowledge that his way is true, it is the way of sin that is false. Psalm 73 then, page 316, verse 23 to the end. After this would we be seated once more as we take a short prayer in closing. Psalm 73, verse 23, standing to sing. Turn in our closing prayer, and I will lead first in prayer, but would you also join with me as we close in the words known as the Lord's Prayer. We'll use the version that is printed on the service sheet on page 4 that we're together in these words. Let us pray then. O God, All holy desires, all wisdom, all good works come from you. So now we ask that you will give peace to us as your servants, that peace that this world cannot give. And work that peace in us, that our hearts may be set to obey your word, and in every condition of life, that we will be at rest and quietness of spirit through the merits of Jesus Christ our Saviour, who taught us to pray by this pattern: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, in drawing to a close, let us sing a short psalm of praise and doxology to our God, Psalm 117. We'll sing it just once, as it is page 155. The tune isn't printed, but I think it's Regent Square. And we'll stand to sing and remain standing after that to receive God's blessing. Praise the Lord, all you nations, all you peoples, sing his praise. Let us stand to sing the praises of our God and receive his blessing.
Praise the Lord, all you nations, all you peoples, sing his praise. For his love is great towards us, his commitment was always. He is faithful now and ever. Hallelujah, praise the Lord.
Now may he grant his blessing. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.